Hola amigos, hola amigas, aquí comienza una nueva entrega de Metaloscopio. Aquí les habla Quique Planas desde Alemania y estoy, como siempre, junto a mi gran amigo JM, quien les habla desde las lejanas y ahora no tan frías tierras de Noruega.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Bienvenido a Metaloscopio. En este podcast, si esta primera vez que lo estás escuchando, entonces, y nos dedicamos en general a entregarte los análisis más completos de discos de rock y metal, sea de discos clásicos o más nuevos. Pero hoy estaremos hablando de algo distinto. Hoy nos tomaremos un break para hablar de otros temas y noticias relacionados dentro del mundo del rock y que nos gustaría compartir contigo y todos quienes nos están escuchando en toda Latinoamérica. A estos episodios entonces lo hemos llamado Paréntesis y espero entonces te unas a la conversación.
Y si te gusta nuestro podcast, no te puedes olvidar de ingresar a metaloscopio.com, donde podrás suscribirte a nuestro fanbase para que te enviemos noticias y alertas de los nuevos episodios. También te invitamos a que nos sigas tanto en Facebook, Instagram o Twitter, donde nos encuentras bajo el nombre @metaloscopio. Aquí podrás interactuar con nosotros y el resto de nuestros seguidores y podrás también estar informado de los lanzamientos de nuevos episodios y donde te esperamos nos dejes también tus reviews o peticiones para que podamos revisar tus discos favoritos en el futuro.
Bueno, Quique, ¿de quién vamos a estar hablando hoy entonces?
Hoy día vamos a tener una entretenida conversación. Tenemos invitados a una banda amiga, una banda que de acá, de donde vivo yo, de Múnich. Es una banda que tengo el placer, el honor de conocer en persona, de haber incluso tocado con algunos de los miembros de esta banda en distintas oportunidades. Y también, hasta se podría decir que también en algunos momentos les pegué una ayudadita con algunas ideas para sus temas. Estamos hablando de la banda alemana Siora. Ellos son básicamente tres integrantes, voz y guitarra, bajo y guitarra solista. Y las baterías de acá, de esta banda, son secuenciadas. Lo que te recuerda o lo que nos recuerda los inicios de...
Señor Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids.
And the Spooky Kids, exactamente. Sí. Esta es una banda que, si bien llevan bastantes años, han tenido bastantes... Bueno, tuvieron un hiato bastante grande. Nada, tienen un estilo que ya lo vamos a escuchar. La verdad es que suenan bastante, bastante bien. Y ellos son una banda que los agarró un día, digamos, el algoritmo de Spotify... Y se le multiplicaron sus auditores por 500.000. Y desde ese momento es que han logrado alguna fama bastante increciendo acá, sobre todo en el sur de Alemania.
Sí, qué bueno. Sí, pues entonces, bueno, la idea entonces de este episodio es hablar de... Vamos a hablar con Siora. Y entonces también, pues, ¿por qué con esta banda tan... Bueno, me imagino para todos los que nos están escuchando, nunca lo he escuchado antes, yo tampoco lo sabía de ello hasta que me llegó el comentario por Quique. Pero entonces hoy me siento referencia con el con Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids. Ellos empezaron también, eran los integrantes y tenían una batería, no tenían baterista, sino que era simplemente un aparato que tocaba las notas. El sonido de Siora sí es un sonido más completo, más moderno. Así que no creo que la batería en vivo no... O sea, estas baterías no se pueden programar para que se toquen en vivo. Pero el tema entonces a mí me recuerda o me hace pensar un poco cuántas otras bandas en Latinoamérica y en todo el mundo que están empezando y están pasando por estos mismos desafíos. El tema de empezar a formar, de tener una idea, de tocar por pasarlo bien, de tocar entonces por querer hacer algo distinto... Hay distintos motivos por cada uno, pero al final hay fases que hay en el desarrollo de una banda para sacarla adelante. Y que me imagino entonces eso le debe estar pasando mucho a la gente que nos está escuchando, porque muchos de los que nos escuchan, por el tema del análisis tan complejo que hacemos de disco, hay mucha gente que son músicos, que tienen sus propias bandas, que están bandas de tributo, o que hacen temas propios también. Y entonces, Siora, se me ocurre que es una banda muy parecida, que, o sea, en el sentido que es una banda que... representa ese tipo de desafío de una banda que está en su primera fase, Tiene sus canciones muy bien producidas, tiene muy buen sonido, muy limpio, ya lo vamos a escuchar. Y bueno, y eso, y vamos a hablar con ellos, pues.
Así es, y de hecho hablábamos hace detrás de los micrófonos, digamos, hablábamos también que todo tiene un inicio y todo tiene un punto cúlmine, todo tiene un clímax y todo tiene un fin, digamos. Y bueno, nosotros también partimos con un episodio piloto que no lo escuchaba ni Dios. y de a poco fuimos aprendiendo, fuimos haciendo mejor las cosas, se nos fueron ocurriendo ideas, fuimos armando redes sociales, fuimos armando nuestro sitio web, fuimos mejorando nuestro contenido, se nos fueron ocurriendo ideas para ir mejorando también el sonido y compramos equipo, etc. Y hoy día, mira, sin haber llegado todavía quizás a nuestro clímax, pero tenemos seguidores que nos escuchan semana a semana y hemos logrado un fanbase bastante interesante y poquito a poco vamos transformándonos en un podcast que va sonando un poquito más fuerte y que se va haciendo súper humildemente un nombre dentro de este mundo de los podcasts, que existen más de 500.000 podcasts en todo el mundo, así que es difícil hacerse un espacio. Y lo mismo se me ocurre también el tema de hacerse un espacio como una banda. Y de hecho, a nosotros como Metaloscopio nos llegan semanalmente emails, mensajes, tweets, yo qué sé, de bandas que también quieren que los analicemos o que pasemos una canción de ellos en nuestro podcast. Y bueno, tenemos que ir discriminando y ver cuál sí, cuál no. Quizás algunas quedan para más adelante. Pero sí, hay que moverse en este ambiente de la música, en el ambiente de cualquier cosa, hay que moverse para llegar a un punto en donde el momentum, la inercia, sea capaz de mantenerse por sí sola y de ahí entonces hacer el efecto bola de nieve. Si te parece, vamos a escuchar un tema de Ciora. Vamos a escuchar ahora entonces el tema Deliverance.
I'm running inside.
Bueno, y aquí estamos ya entonces de vuelta, de haber escuchado el tremendo tema Deliverance. Y ya estamos entonces, como lo prometimos, con la banda Ciora, a quienes tenemos el gusto y el honor de tener con nosotros acá. Y bueno, nos gustaría partir por agradecerles vuestra presencia hoy día en nuestro episodio. Y también, bueno, hacerles la pregunta, que nos cuenten un poco de cómo se gestó Ciora. ¿Cuáles fueron los inicios? Un poco, ¿cuál es la historia detrás de la banda? So, thank you so much, guys, for being here today. We would like to start this interview by asking you, how did Ciora start? What's the origin? What's the story behind the band?
All right. Once again, thanks for having us. Our pleasure. I think we have to go a bit back in time. We kind of started already in 20... Oh, well, Fabio and me, so the singer and me, we kind of started in, 2006. We had our first band together, which was a thrash metal band. Back then, at least I was heavily into thrash metal.
me too, yeah.
And we had this band for, I think, roughly 4 years, something like this. Good times, but we kind of broke up because each member went its own way, kind of, or his own way. And it kind of got hard to coordinate the whole thing. But then in 2012 or 2013, I kind of followed up on the idea that we could make music together again. And we just started throwing ideas around over the internet. So we recorded riffs, we recorded ideas, we sent it to each other. And I think it got really serious in 2015, 2016, kind of, where we had a few songs in a good state, where we thought now it's a good idea to go to recordings. And we had in 2016, summer 2016, we had the idea of releasing an EP. Unfortunately, due to time pressure, didn't really happen, but we didn't give up on it. And then in 2019, actually, we pushed harder for a release, and Thomas came into the picture, and then we had our first release with Anchorite in summer of 2019. And that's basically the incarnation of Ciora as a band.
So basically, it's you, Marcel, in the guitar, it's Favi in the vocals, and it's Thomas in the bass. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, Fabio also plays guitar, so we kind of share
guitar
duties.
I'm also playing the guitar.
Aha, okay, cool. And what does Ciora mean? How did you come up with the name?
To be honest, there's not much of a story behind it. It's basically we were ready to release a song. We needed a band name. We had some ideas in mind. We started collecting ideas. And in the end, Ciora kind of came more or less out of nowhere. Back then, I was reading a book. And we thought it's maybe... Like, I changed the name from one of the characters in the book to make it sound catchy, short, and kind of also not very cliché, I would say. We didn't want to go for a cliché metal name. So that's where this comes from.
Yeah, it was quite funny because we had like billions of names ready, but shortly before we wanted to release the song, Marcel came up with Ciora, and yeah, we all liked it. So it was the name.
We just wanted to have something that is not that doesn't sound like we wanted to be brutal or that we want to sound mean or angry. A band that name that kind of could fit any type of band, and I think it serves its purpose.
Actually, your latest two singles landed on very big Spotify playlists, like Newcore and New Metal Tracks, with more than 400,000 followers. How does that feel?
Actually,
it's fucking awesome, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Especially nowadays, is Spotify plays is I think the currency you should obey because. You don't sell many physical records, and this is what counts. So for us, it's a brutal honor to land on a playlist that is curated by Spotify. You know, it's there are people sitting in front of the computer and sorting like 20,000 songs out a day. So that was a blast, man. That was amazing, and it gives us
the feeling.
I think
we would have never thought of it.
That. It's worth the effort we put into each song.
it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fucking amazing. I mean, 400,000 followers, and I've been seeing your numbers, and as of today, many of your songs have actually reached quite a significant number of listens or streams, which is actually quite cool. I mean, in this regard, I would like to point out that I know that you guys are fully self-made. Everything in Ciora is fully self-made. As I understand, you write, you produce your own stuff, you distribute your songs on your own. Like, is this a conscious decision? Where does it come from? Have you ever thought about maybe adding a producer, an external producer that could help you with your sound? Or where does this whole decision come from?
I think in terms of producing, mixing, distributing, it was a conscious decision because we all three work full time. For us, it's a hobby. It's a fun thing. And we still, to be honest, are in contact, at least in loose contact, with some German labels, metal labels, that are interested, let's say, in our songs and our material. But we are still very focused on doing our very own thing because we want to say we released this year 3, 4, 5, 6 songs or whatever. So we manage our time, we manage how we proceed, and we love the feeling of being in full control of what we do. So this is a very conscious decision, actually.
Yeah. I think to add to that, this also has a bit of a history. When we, so our first band, Fabi and my first band, we actually went to a studio, and in the studio we got a result that was not really satisfying. So back then we thought we can do this better ourselves. And that's basically when mainly I got into audio production, and I'm a bit of a do-it-yourself guy. So I like to do things. I'm curious by nature. And now it's basically just became fun for me to produce music. And while I think there's definitely some value in having an external producer or an external opinion to your whole thing, for us it has more advantages to do it ourselves. And as Thomas said, right now it's awesome to be in complete control over what you do. And the music industry in itself changed. And we try to adapt to that, to be a self-contained band that does everything on our own.
Yeah, I mean, like, before going digital, everything was on tape. And if you didn't have a producer, and if you didn't have an engineer, and if you didn't have a studio, nothing would happen. But today, you can basically record on your own house and sound just as good as if you were recording in the studio.
If you are good enough in mixing and producing, yes.
Absolutely.
Luckily, we have Marcel.
I think the bar is pretty high also due to the reason that it became cheaper to produce music and everybody does it nowadays by themselves. Kind of you have to, the bar is set, you have to sound, no matter if you do it on your own or if you go to a studio, your material has to sound as good as all the pro bands, all the big bands kind of. And nowadays, it's luckily a matter of how much you invest into it. It's not a matter of money anymore. It's more of a matter of how much time you spend on it. And that's what we try to achieve with it, to produce good results, although doing it all on our own.
And to add on top of that, I think that one of the most important things nowadays is actually to have your own seal, your own sort of sound, your trademark. Basically copying whatever is out there and just sounding like everyone else is not going to take you anywhere. Just because of the same reason. Like today, 3 kids can get together, record their own music, upload it into Spotify, and there you go. Suddenly they might have 5,000 or 6,000 streams. And I don't know, it's that sort of like that easy. But if you sound just like everyone else, you won't get anywhere. So basically, actually to tap on top of that, how does your writing and producing process look like? How do you manage to write and record and produce and everything so you actually sound very different from the rest?
To be honest, I think songwriting-wise, it is hard. So in general, it is hard to sound unique nowadays because it feels like a lot of the things were done before. But I think we have very distinct tastes, which are also very different. So everybody, every one of us has like their own different kind of music they listen to. And in the end, I think the mix of it all kind of makes maybe our sound. And it's obviously also, I mean, the singer has a huge influence on the music. I think the singer with his style and his sound is just usually like the most unique thing about a band. And that's why I think probably Fabi has a big part in our sound. And we also very kind of, we have a common vision shared vision we have. And Fabi plays a huge part in it. And we always try to write around his vocals kind of to put them as the centerpiece of our music.
Yeah, sometimes it's quite hard because we have to throw a lot of good stuff into the garbage can because it doesn't work. But yeah, in the end, we come up with a good solution and yeah, we try to make the best song possible.
But also to add one more thing to that, it's I think we as a band, we obviously as every band, we kind of evolve over time. So there's no set sound we try to shoot for. So it's not like we see ourselves as a one-trick pony that does the same thing over and over again. I see it could be that in the long run we also like shift a bit in our style. So I think we are in the process of carving out our sound, but it takes time.
The writing process at itself is quite practical. So we upload snippets of riffs or cool stuff we like, and then we decide on what is worth to continue on. And then we basically progress day by day. We upload new stuff, we add stuff, and then we send around like 70, 80 files until one song is really complete. We change minor things and until everyone is happy. But I have to say that we are very, very, how we call it, in detail when it comes to the song. So we discuss like a bass drum kick like 20 times. No, that's cool, that's not cool. So we are very, very big fans of detail shit, if I can say it like that.
And that's also one of the ingredients of why we think it's a good idea to do it all ourselves. Because if you're a band who doesn't record itself, then the first time you really hear your music under a microscope is when you go to a studio. And we can do that all ourselves in our bedrooms, basically, and change things in like the deepest level of detail.
Absolutely. So talking about the song, and I'm going to use your own words, Marcel, about the pony that repeats the trick all over the time. So what influences your songs and the lyrics behind them? Like, how do you iterate your sound? What's the sort of like, what would you say is your main influence behind everything?
Well, I would say that it depends, because sometimes somebody comes up with an idea and we just continue with it. And we always try to tell stories with our songs, things we may have experienced in our life, for example, or things other people experience. But yeah, some things are sometimes made up. So the whole thing, it's like the big goal in the background, which is important for us.
I think one of the beauty of at least the lyrics is that we all collaborate on songwriting. And when it comes to lyric writing, I remember that a lot of the times Fabi and me especially wrote different parts of a song. So the two of us maybe related differently to the song. So we never even spoke about what is the actual meaning of a song, but it could be that we both interpret the lyrics differently. I think that's the beauty of music and of lyrics in general, that they should have, they should be open for interpretation. And also the listener maybe has a different takeaway from our lyrics. And music-wise, I think, at least I'm very inspired by just listening to a lot of music, so a lot of different bands. And then sometimes you just hear cool stuff and you think like maybe we should incorporate elements from this band into our songwriting. And yeah, that's basically how it goes for us.
So talking about that in particular, what bands would you guys consider as your main inspirations? Maybe you can give a couple each, or maybe all as a band. I don't know. Up to you.
I think it's we are very different. At least I can tell it. I come more from a punk rock, hardcore background. I grew up with bands like Hatebreed, Slipknot, like the late Pantera and stuff. But I think the other two guys are very like fresh metalish, I would say.
Maybe Fabio, you go first.
Yeah, so you say thrash metalist. I would say I would consider myself as being maybe the one of the biggest Metallica fans worldwide, because I started everything because of James Hetfield and those guys. But I also listen to bands like Breaking Benjamin, Alter Bridge, Trivium, Five Finger Death Punch. Also, Slipknot is a big influence. I sometimes really like listening to the hard stuff. So yeah, there is no like I don't have one band. Except for maybe Metallica, but...
Yeah, also Metallica was probably, in my youth at least, the biggest band I listened to, or what I listened to most. And I think over time I got more into progressive metal and stuff like this. So maybe I'm kind of responsible for adding a certain, I wouldn't say complexity, but I definitely bring something different to the table in terms of what I have in mind when it comes to songwriting. But yeah, I mean, for me right now, the bands I'm listening to is very, it's very diverse. I listen to right now, for example, Contortionist is a big band for me right now. But at the same time, they're really good. At the same time, I also listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan or John Coltrane and stuff like this. So it really, really depends on my mood.
And Marcel has a very big DJ Guetta poster on his wall, so we should not forget
He never speaks about it. Fan of him.
He's a little dancing queen. Fangirl. We know it.
So, summing up, in what kind of genre would you see yourself? What bands are you basically comparable to? I know that we already mentioned that you try not to sound to like anyone else and you try not to repeat the same number all over the time. But if you could name it at least a couple of bands or at least one sort of like genre, which one would it be?
Actually, this is a super tough question because when we started our YouTube marketing, we wanted to like focus on one genre we are actually in, but it's super tough because nowadays, like a lot of bands try out different things and everything kind of vanishes, like borders vanish. I would say it's like alternative metal, but maybe the other two guys. It's definitely not hardcore and not techno. That's what I can say.
Absolutely.
I think like you already heard that Fabio and me, we have maybe like a common denominator with bands like Metallica and Alter Bridge and Breaking Benjamin maybe. So I think that's where we kind of struck a middle ground between the two of us. But at the same time, I hope that we kind of sound like we do as a band. And we also had a lot of different outside opinions. So when we played our first song for a few people, some told us like you sound like old Linkin Park. And I never really listened to Linkin Park. So I think maybe our perception of our music is very different from the audience perception.
System of a Down was also named. Like it was like very broad.
All over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, for a person that doesn't know us and hasn't heard a song yet, it's, I think, a groovy, catchy metal rhythm with clean vocals.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, rhythm is
an
very important.
An absolute fucking amazing sound. It's the best shit ever.
At the end of the day, when I listen to you guys, I definitely see some of the influences of Breaking Benjamin. There's definitely some Alter Bridge there. I've also in some little parts I've also listened a little bit of Gojira and some elements of progressive metal. That's definitely there as well. Of course, always with clean vocals. And I think it's pretty unique. I really like it. That's why we chose you guys to be part of our podcast regarding the new blood of German rock and metal. And
thank you. We highly appreciate that.
One of the main thing is that yes, you're getting quite some good reception in the online platforms, but you guys never played live. Of course, right now, playing live is not even possible because we are in the middle of the outbreak of the coronavirus. But is there a chance to see Ciora playing live in the future?
So definitely we would like to play live at one point.
we kind of, the thing is right now we're not 18 anymore, and we have our own lives. We work 40 hours a week. And we have other commitments we have to fulfill. So we have to be kind of picky about where we want to play live and what shows we want to play. Meaning at the same time, it's a lot of fun, or would be a lot of fun to us to play live. Just didn't materialize yet, also because we're still working on our set list. So meaning we have 4 singles out right now.
Absolutely.
I think we still have to write a few more songs to actually be able to play for a set. So... But there are plans for the future. We actually had plans for this year, but now with the coronavirus outbreak, as you mentioned, it's not going to happen this year. But we are now even spending more time on preparing ourselves for the next year, maybe to be able to play live in 2021.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, the good thing is we have some time right now to prepare the last few bits which are missing, so we can play live next year. Yeah, so maybe 3, 4, 5 more songs this year. I think 3 would be a good number, but... Yeah, let's see. We just need some more material, to be honest, and I think we can handle that because of the corona outbreak.
It's also for us. It's always quality over quantity. So we don't want to rush anything just to be able to play live. For us, it's important to have the best songs possible. And once we have, we're happy with a good number of songs, then we can go out and play live.
Yeah, and maybe another point is that. It's not 1990 anymore. You don't need to play like 300 gigs in one state to become a brand or to get awareness. In times of Spotify, YouTube and stuff, it's way easier to get traction through the web. And we rather focus on producing high quality content, cool songs, have a proper set list, and then go out with like 8-10 songs and... tear this fucking walls down.
Awesome. So I think we've covered pretty much every single aspect about the past, the present, and the future of Asiora. So I wanted to thank you guys being part of this podcast in the middle of this coronavirus outbreak. We are going to now play one of your latest and actually the most played song of yours in Spotify, which is Serenity. So I would like maybe Marcel to introduce the song.
Marcel, go for it.
All right,
tell us something about the song.
Nice.
Which key is it?
So yeah, Serenity. Fun song to play, fun song to work on. Actually, we spent a lot of time on it. I think it kind of brings all to the table that we are as a band. It's catchy. It's at the same time, I think, pretty diverse.
Handsome.
And also, it includes some vocals from me, so you won't hear that anytime near in the future. So I hope you dig it, you guys.
Definitely.
And follow us on Instagram, follow us on Spotify. We're very happy if you support us. Appreciate it.
Marcel, Thomas, Fabi, thank you so much for taking part of this podcast episode. Hopefully we can have you again in the future, maybe to talk about your live performances or even a new record.
Thank you very much for having us.
Bueno, ¿cuál de los dos temas te gusta a ti más personalmente?
La verdad, bueno, Serenity me gusta bastante. De verdad, de la, tienen ellos cuatro temas arriba solamente y ya escuchamos dos de ellos. Y Serenity entonces tiene puntos que destacan, tiene momentos más destacables musicalmente.
Sí.
El estilo se empieza a notar, es bastante claro, el estilo está muy bien definido. El sonido es muy limpio. Me gusta el nivel de producción y de grabación que está. Se nota muy bien el bajo, se nota muy bien las guitarras. La voz está muy limpia. Tal vez muy, muy limpia. Podría asociarse un poquitito más por ahí. Pero tiene cosas muy entretenidas.
Sí.
Tiene su poder. La batería, y sabes que. O sea, si no me hubieras dicho que no hay un baterista, no me hubiera dado ni cuenta. Sí, suena bastante, de relativamente como. No sé si es monótono, porque no es monotonía, pero como podría haber como un poquito más de pasión en la batería. Y ahí es donde se nota entonces que falta ahí.
Es irreemplazable el soul del baterista ahí que le pone.
Sí.
Obviamente lo suyo, y se nota cuando hay un tema quizás un poquito más programado que.
Sí, y que imagino que si llegara entonces eso les va a subir mucho el pelo.
Sí, absolutamente. Recordemos que, bueno, como nos dijeron en la entrevista, ellos no han podido tocar todavía en vivo, están obviamente pensándolo, estuvieron muy cerca de hacerlo, este era el año, pero el maldito coronavirus dijo que no, así que nada, ahora entonces tienen más tiempo para seguir componiendo canciones, probablemente sacar un EP o un LP, y obviamente hay Ciora para rato, pero efectivamente tuvieron este problema. Ahora, lo que decías tú un poco de ensuciar las voces, la voz del vocalista es bastante versátil. De hecho, si tú escuchas Home o Anchorite, las otras dos canciones que no hemos escuchado, que están de fondo, de hecho, en este momento, hay momentos en donde la voz sí que se ensucia y es un poquito más growling y queda súper bien. Sí. Yo creo que esta banda tiene el suficiente talento como para realmente pegarse una despegada y hacer cosas bastante interesantes. De eso a mí no me cabe la menor duda. Son todos tremendos músicos, ultra talentosos. Pocas veces he visto a un guitarrista tan bueno como Marcel. Y lo he visto tocar en vivo en otros proyectos. Y el tipo realmente, realmente toca muy, muy, pero muy, muy bien. Sí, a mí también. Bueno. A mí también me gusta más Serenity, creo que es un tema más completo, un tema más redondo.
Bueno, por algo entonces fue el que agarró, el que
y se sumó entonces, exacto.
Como hacíamos al algoritmo, de haber entrado alguna cuestión de new releases o de banda emergente, Alemania, empezó a dar vuelta y sí, tiene los méritos.
Sí, tiene
los elementos agarró. Para los méritos.
Lo agarraron para el playlist, si no me equivoco, lo dijeron acá en la entrevista, ahora se me olvidó, pero es como el New Blood, era el Metal New Blood, algo así fue en donde aparecieron.
Bueno, y qué importante entonces ese tipo de instancia donde se pueda proporcionar la música, que es precisamente entonces un poco también lo que estamos haciendo acá. El sueño de muchas bandas es llegar a Latinoamérica, porque es sin duda el, y eso a mí no me cabe la menor duda, estoy absolutamente convencido por evidencias propias, el mejor público para conciertos de rock.
Absolutamente.
Es un sueño. No sé por qué de alguna manera, ¿por qué no es tan? O sea, debería ser algo como más obvio, como para muchas bandas que salen, vienen a Estados Unidos y Europa, y en Europa terminan tocando en clubes chicos, cuando en Latinoamérica estarían tocando en estadios enormes, llenos. Tú has visto, y nosotros hemos visto muchas bandas, que tú dirías, sí, Alter Bridge, estarían así un estadio de como 8.000 personas, yo los vi, bueno, no sé, pues con 500 personas y ahí enfrente. Tú fuiste a ver a Leprous en Francia, bueno, parado así frente a ellos, Between the Buried and Me, tú tienes un montón de experiencia también, cuéntanos un poquito ahí también, ¿no?
Sí, bueno, yo vi a Between the Buried and Me con 25 personas en el club backstage, donde he visto más de la mitad de los conciertos que he visto acá en Múnich, eran 25 personas, era el mismo día que tocaba Alice Cooper, así que yo creo que todos se fueron ahí a ver a Anita Strauss y, y ese día no había mucha gente, efectivamente. Y sí, después en Chile tocaron en el Club Subterráneo y por lo que estuve leyendo ahí en algunas reseñas del concierto, hicieron dos conciertos del Club Subterráneo llenos.
Y alcanzaron a tocar, exacto, y alcanzaron a tocar antes de que cancelaran el resto de la gira.
Correcto. De hecho, Santiago fue uno de los últimos lugares donde alcanzaron a tocar Between the Buried and Me. Así que sí, la diferencia es ostensible. Estamos hablando de otro nivel, o sea, estamos hablando de 3-4 veces más público. Así que efectivamente para las bandas de Latinoamérica, o sea, las bandas del mundo para ir a Latinoamérica es un buen negocio. Es lejos, obviamente es caro mover todo, pero yo creo que tiene es donde hacen más ganancias. No por nada Iron Maiden abre y cierra sus giras mundiales en Latinoamérica. Normalmente abre en Chile y termina en Chile. De pasada se pega con Argentina, Brasil, Colombia, México, que te aseguro que trae dividendos más que positivo.
Sí, imagínate. Bueno, ¿y qué tal Faith No More? También otra banda que hizo lo mismo.
En su Exactamente. Primera gira de reunión.
Sí. Bueno, lo que también aquí pasa, que no sé, yo creo que en Noruega puede que sea similar, pero acá se preocupan muchísimo el tema de darle follaje, de darle tiraje a las bandas emergentes. Y de que siempre hay un semillero. Si nos ponemos a hablar un poco de las grandes bandas de rock y de casi todos los estilos alemanas, hay siempre bandas alemanas dando vuelta. Hoy día quizás la última gran banda alemana es Rammstein, pero también partieron, recordemos que hicimos el episodio hace 3 episodios atrás y hablábamos que Rammstein partió también tocando en clubes y llamó la atención por el tema de los fuegos y toda la pirotecnia que ocupaban. Acá también en Múnich se hacen eventos todo el tiempo. Hay eventos gratuitos para que tú vayas a ver bandas de renombre mezcladas con bandas más pequeñitas. Y eso ayuda a que tengan un crecimiento y un tema exponencial. Que si bien los van a ver poquitas personas, pero tienen ese espacio. Muchas veces quizás en Latinoamérica falta un poquito más de esos espacios para que también haya más un producto de exportación. Por eso es que muchas veces en Latinoamérica terminamos importando música más que agarrando y disfrutando nuestro producto nacional, que hay, que existe, que es muy talentoso, es muy bueno, pero no al nivel quizás del de acá.
Claro, ya hablamos un poco en la Operación Venezuela, y así como ellos también, hay muchas bandas en cada país, hay una escena, hay bandas que están que también quieren salir adelante, y hay que darle su chance.
Totalmente. Nada. Dijimos que muchas veces nos llegan mensajes de bandas y que muchas veces no, por tiempo o literalmente por línea editorial no podemos verlas a todas. De todas formas, los dejamos completamente invitados. Si tienes una banda o si conoces una banda buena de rock o de heavy metal en México, que es nuestro principal, digamos, público, o en Colombia o en Argentina o en cualquier parte, mándanos tus comentarios y si es que encontramos algo que suena bien, que suena entretenido y que se pueda armar una entrevista entretenida, lo vamos a hacer, encantado de la vida. Nosotros no solamente queremos hablar de materiales antiguos, de bandas archi requete contra conocidas, también queremos hablar de cosas no tan conocidas y no tan populares, porque también creemos que todo se merece su espacio y es muy interesante ver estos proyectos que están de alguna manera recién partiendo.
Con esto entonces los dejamos nuevamente invitados a que busquen a Ciora en Spotify. Esperemos entonces les haya gustado este episodio. Por aquí vamos cerrando entonces este paréntesis mientras nos seguimos preparando para nuestro próximo episodio de Downward Spiral de Nine Inch Nails.
Oh yeah, baby.
Así que entonces desde Noruega, aquí me despido, soy JM.
Kike desde Alemania, les decimos Rock on.